many know that he's worthy of all praise? Amen. The heart of thanksgiving. And we are in the Thanksgiving season. We can give God thanks, but you don't have to wait till November. If he blesses you in any other time of the year, as a matter of fact, if he's blessing you right now, you don't have to wait till Thanksgiving. You can praise him and thank him for all of the amazing things that he has done. Well, good morning, Crossroad. On behalf of my wife and I, we thank you so much for the very beautiful service of recognition, and we are very much appreciative. I'm just thankful to God that he worked in my life and made me into a new creature where I could be a blessing to others. So thank you again for the kindness and the gifts that you've shown. We're very, very grateful for all that God has done. Amen? Amen. And we want to welcome those that are here new. We want to welcome you to our services here at Crossroad. Those that are online, we certainly welcome you. If you're on Facebook, if you're on YouTube, and I think we got a couple of other those digital formats that Charlene, I can't even pronounce, but anyway, the word's getting out, so we're thankful for that. Before I forget, all of those that are involved with the Sunday school, would you please go downstairs immediately after this service? They're going to have a short meeting, and we need you for the planning of the trip that we're planning on for 2024. Is that all right? Youth also. Yes, youth and Sunday school. So thank you very much. All right, let's get into the Word. Y'all want to get into the Word? We're talking about the winning way. Winning way. How many of you feel like you've had some battles in life, but would you say for the most part, you're still winning? Amen. Now, prayerfully, you know why you're winning, right? It's not you, but it's the Lord that's on your side. And that's why we should always show our gratitude and our thanks. But I ran across this scripture, and I pray that you can see it. I tried to work with this screen, and so anyway, I pray you can see this. But it's from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. And while you're turning there, I want to give a shout out to my nephew down in Suffolk. He's probably watching online, and his daughter out in Seattle. She's in the military, and she's probably watching online, but I want to give a shout out to all of those, especially all of our military. If you're watching, we certainly pray that these services will be a blessing to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. I love the way it starts off, but God. I like that, but God. That meant something happened prior, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. I want to just share with you the subject, a great position. A great position. You may be seated. Father, bless us now as we have studied. I pray you'd bring forth the word and help us to proclaim it with clarity, with truth, that, Lord, lives might be changed through your word. They can't be changed through philosophy. They cannot be changed through different information formats. They can only be changed by and through your holy word. So I pray that we would hear today, and Lord, in hearing the word, we might become doers of your word. I pray you'd bless us. Only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. You know, in our Western culture, we have words that have multiple meanings, and it can be confusing if you're not sure of how the word is being used. For instance, the word interest. Now, that could be the accrual of extra earnings for money that you put in the bank. Say, I'm earning interest. But interest can also be if I show something has my attention. It's got my interest. Different term, and the focus is you have to pay attention to the person who is using that type of language in order for you to understand its meaning. You might even use the word interest. He's a person of interest, which means he's involved in some type of investigative information that people want to gather, and this is a person that we want to talk to. What does the word position mean? What do we think about when we think about a person's position? Some might say it's a place. It's where you are at a given time. Some might look at it, well, it doesn't necessarily have to be a place. It could be maybe a recognition. That person has a position in government. They're not sitting in government. They're sitting in a position. Now, while it's important for us to understand that the person using the language and they're trying to convey a thought is very important, when God says to you, I'm giving you a position. God was using the Apostle Paul to tell us about our position, where we are, and what that means to us. A lot of times when people will look at the book of Ephesians, they'll go directly either to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and certainly those are some very critical and wonderful verses. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But did you know that God puts you in a position? Did you know that when you are in Christ Jesus, you're in a good place? Let me qualify that. You're in a great place. Now, here's the amazing thing about this. You are still physically here in this world. All right, you're not in heaven yet. You're not in glory with Jesus yet. But what God did when you accepted and believed that Christ was your Lord, He positioned you in a place where He could always keep His eye on you and watch you and take care of you. Is that good or what? He put you in a place. Now, to really get this in context, you got to know where He brought you from. Some of y'all haven't got it yet. Some of you haven't really recognized it yet. But some of us He brought from a mighty long way. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples of that. I don't know what you did before you got saved. But I'm telling you, my life was positioned in a bad place. I wasn't profitable for anything. But then I got repositioned. In other words, God, He took me from where I was and put me where I needed to be. That's what I like about it. That's what I like about it. He positioned you. He positioned you in a wonderful, wonderful place. The book of Ephesians is really a deep book. I mean, you got to take your time. I'm a slow reader anyway, so it takes me a little while, Miss Cablet, before I get it. But then when I get it, I got it. So God has positioned you. He uses the phrase over four times in this verse, together with Christ. Raised us up together, seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're together with Him. I said three times. But He uses the term so that you might know where you are. Now, why is that important? You got a lot of folk, a lot of believers that are living today. They don't know where they are, and they don't know who they are. So any wind that comes by, here they go. Wind shift this way. Hey, hey, here they go. What are you doing? I'm trying to hold on. Yes. Yes. You don't have to hold on if you're positioned. As a matter of fact, it's not you holding on. It's the one that positioned you that's holding on. He keeps you in your place. He keeps you where you are. Why did God do this? It says so. He was rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. I watched the program last night, talking about the Vanderbilts, how they got all their money. Talking about the Gettys and how they got all their money. And at one point, they were the richest folk on earth. Oh, but I knew somebody that was richer than them. They might have owned property up in upstate New York, but my God owns the universe. Yeah, my God owns everything. He is rich in mercy. Now, out of this abundance, I don't want you to get this idea you got a cheap God. Out of this abundance, God said, I'm going to love you as much as I want to, and you can't stop me. Now, anytime you love, you're going to be moved by that love. And that's what Ephesians is telling you. God was moved by his mercy. They had sung praises in the Old Testament. His mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord because his mercy endures forever. But Paul came into New Testament. Let me tell you what that mercy did. God, who is rich in mercy, took you from where you were. How many of y'all admit you were in a mess? You were towed up from the float. And God took you, put you in Christ Jesus. And why did he put you in Christ Jesus? There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except through Christ. And when you are in Christ, as the old folks say, you good and saved. You good and saved. I'm not talking about other religion. I'm not talking about being a Baptist. I'm not talking about being a Methodist. I'm not talking about being a Pentecostal. I'm talking about being plain out saved. Amen. By the grace of God. All right, y'all got it so far. The God who is rich in mercy. God who is rich in mercy. Put you in a great position. Put you in a place where you needed to be. That's why. And I'm so grateful that the church is now waking up to who they are. We're going to quit arguing with each other about stuff that don't matter. Because we are who we are and we are where we are in Christ Jesus. We don't have time to fiddle over stuff, amen, that when it's done, well, what did it happen? Nothing. Look at somebody, tell them, keep it moving, keep it moving, keep it moving. This is not a new concept. When we look at God who positions us, when we look at the amazing love and grace of God, and this thing helps us to keep a winning attitude even in times of life when we are down. You're going to have some downtime. Things are going to happen to you. You're going to get afflicted by problems in life, losses that you have. But you still maintain your position. You don't lose that. You can't lose it, because if you lose that, then God would stop existing. But his love and mercy endures forever. Y'all with me so far? So what we're saying is that winning people know their position and know that they are positioned for what? Greatness. Quit telling yourself you're a nobody. Now, other folk can say, and you ain't got to listen to them. They ain't paying your bills no way. Why did God do this? Why did God have mercy on us? We didn't have anything to offer him. It tells you God was rich. I said, man, it would have been nice if I could have been born in one of those families. Matter of fact, I'd settle with being born into the camper folk, Coleman campers, remember them? Oh, never mind. So what did God do? He positioned us. He gave us this gift. Everybody say gift. When someone gives you a gift, you cannot earn it. As a matter of fact, if you think you can earn it, then you're insulting them. Why do we worship? Why do we lift our hands in praise? We do that because of the fact that we've been given this incredible, is that what you call it? Incredible gift. God, who didn't have to show you mercy, showed you mercy. God that didn't have to love you, loved you. And I'm going to tell you something. Y'all may not admit it. I was unlovable, except for me loving myself. You're talking about one of them egotistical folk. Lord have mercy. Reverend Gilmans, you knew a little bit about me before. But I thank God I'm saved. I thank God he humbled me and showed me that without him I can do nothing. So it says that, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened together. Part of that gift is that he raises you up to life, makes you live. You were dead. We look at death as being something that is going to happen in the future. That's called a transition out of the body. All right. In the economy of God, when a believer dies, you just transition. You take off these clothes and then you put on a new suit in glory. How about that? And you live again because you have the life of God, of Jesus Christ in you, because you are now in Christ Jesus. So God quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Now, let me break this down, because what I want you to see is that part of what God does is to take you out of something. But then part of what he does is to put you into something. If you just got taken out of something, but you never got placed into something, something else will come along and, you know, get you tired and tangle up again. I'm going to give you two examples real quick. One example is Abraham. God saved him, delivered him, brought him out from a land called Ur of the Chaldees. Don't ask me to repeat it again. I had a hard time with that one. So God brought him out of that country and said, Abraham, follow me, and I'm going to take you to another land that I will give you. Didn't give him a road map. All he said, I will show you when you get there. Abraham had nothing to offer God. He was 75 years old. How many of y'all will admit you're in your 70s? Okay, we got some hand raised. Okay, y'all look good for me. You ought to pat yourself on the back, but that arthritis kick in. Don't worry about that. Just say, thank God I am where I am. Abraham had nothing to offer God. He was an old man. Most people would look at it from the standpoint, well, what can he do for God? Y'all know how you do in church sometimes. When somebody come in church, you don't think they adding up. You say, what are they going to do? People would have looked at Abraham and said, what does he have to offer anybody? And yet God would make him the father of many nations. But he had to get him from a place and put him in a place. Not just to bring him out, but also to bring him in. So God brought Abraham into the land of promise, made him some promises, and guess what? The seed of Abraham is living today. And if you look at the natural seed, you're looking at the nation of Israel. But if you look at the spiritual seed, you're also looking at the church. Amen. We are part of that. Why? Because we believe what Abraham believed. Let me take you from where you are and let me put you in a place where you need to be. Now, let me do some good preaching here. There are some people, those of you online, I want you to listen up. You think that you are satisfied in the position where you are, but every morning that you wake up, you're still miserable. Amen. You tried drugs, you tried sex, you tried alcohol, you tried all this stuff to make you happy. You got on Facebook, you got on YouTube, you got in Snapchat, and you're still miserable. What's going on? God has to take you from where you are and put you where you need to be. That's the reality. God did it with Abraham. And it took him a long time to get to that position where he finally recognized the things that God was doing in his life. He was 100 years old when he saw Isaac, but he said, you know what? God kept his promise. God did exactly what he said he would do. He took him out of that place, put him in another place, and he blessed him. Why did God do it? Because he was rich in mercy. Look at somebody, tell them rich folk can do what they want. Now look at them again and say, I ain't rich, so. I'm just saying. The other example that we get in the Old Testament is also of Israel, the nation. Even though they were the children of Abraham, God had to reposition them. Where were they? He found them in Egypt. They were in bondage. And anytime, let me just put this little footnote in there. Anytime that you're not in Christ, you are in bondage. You are in chains. Your life is tangled up. Your life is not free until the one who says, I love you, sets you free. And can we just take a little bit of praise break and thank him for setting us free today? Just a little bit, just a little hand, just to say thank you for what you've done. The bad thing is that Israel, when God brought them out of bondage into the wilderness, they had no idea who they were. They kept murmuring. They kept complaining. Why we got to go through this wilderness? Why we hungry? And God kept telling them, hold on a little bit. I'm going to take you where you need to be. Because you know what will happen when you feed people in the wilderness? They want to stay in the wilderness. So God only gave them enough to keep them so that they wouldn't get satisfied in their mess. That's a sermon. That's a sermon by itself. So we had to lead them through all of the trials, through all the struggles, had to lead them out of that place into another place, what he called the land of promise. Had to bring them out. Then he had to bring them in. Here's where I want to go down your street. You are somewhere between your old mess and glory. Right? I got your pen right. Okay. You haven't made it to heaven yet. But God, who is rich in mercy, knew that he was going to bring you there. So he already has your position so that when you get there, all you got to do is take your seat. Is that pretty cool? That's what this verse is saying. It's saying to people who are tied up in life and say, well, I don't know if I can keep on serving the Lord. I'm out of breath. I'm tired of putting up with church folk. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know if I can see another day. All these problems. But God said, wait a minute. Look at your position. Look at where I'm bringing you to and don't give up. Hold on for just a little while. God's going to work this thing out. I know the way gets rough. I know you get tired sometimes. But don't give up now because he brought you too far and where you're going. I said I wasn't going to shout up here, but I'm about to get happy. Where you are going is worth the trip. It's worth it. So just hold on tight. And here's the good news. You got the Holy Spirit traveling with you every step of the way. Why in the world would you get so grieved about crazy stuff in life when you have the Holy Spirit right there with you to tell you it's going to be all right? It's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. All right, so God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith he loved us, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now, let's dig down into this thing and let's look at a couple of things before I close. A couple of things that you need to understand about your new position and what it does for you now. You're not seated yet. Don't take your seat. Don't take your seat because you're still working through this life. But your position says a couple of things about God and what he's done for you in his amazing love. First of all, everybody say unification.
Unity.
Unity. Our unity is in Jesus Christ, together with Christ. Second thing you need to understand about it is preservation. Not a whole lot of things going to get next to you unless you allow it because of where your position is. All right? How many of y'all notice that people in high positions usually have what they call security? They want to protect those people. You don't just run up on the president like talking about, hey, what's happening, Joe? No. He's got security, and they're going to call you down. A lot of people have that. You have security. Another thing that you have is what we call authority. Authorization. When you're in Christ, you're in a place where you now have authority. You may not have even run anything in your life, but now that you're in Christ, you've got some authority. So quit praying for folks that they'll fall and stumble and hurt their head. Using your authority wrong. By the way, that authority is governed by the Holy Spirit. Lord, get them. God ain't hearing you. Then lastly, presentation. Let's begin with the first one, unification. What does it mean to now be in Christ and to be together with him? Together with him. When you're with somebody, you are not just around them, but you're in the same place they are. Okay? God quickened us together so that we would be in Christ and not just around Christ, but in the place where he is. Remember when Jesus said in John 14, I go to my Father and I prepare a place for you that where I am, there you will be also. This is that place. You are seated right now. Your position is right now in Christ Jesus. And it's a wonderful place to be in. Because whatever you experience in life, you don't have to say, Lord, you just don't know what I'm going to do. He does know. You're right there. When you pray, you don't pray as if God who art in, yeah, he's got his throne in glory, but he's right in your heart. You are with him. With him. And the believer has to understand that with God, all things are possible. And why is that so? Because the same God that's working in your life wants you to be at a place where he's not only working for you, but working through you. It's called bearing fruit. God wants you to be fruitful. You cannot be fruitful if you're in a bad place. The reason why he took you out of sin, because you can't bear fruit in sin. You can't bear fruit if you all this corrupt stuff is going on in your life. But when he takes you out of that environment and put you in a new environment, then you can bear fruit. My daddy had what was known as a plant bed. Reverend Gibbons, you know something about it. And when the frost and different things was around, you'd have a plant bed to put your stuff in, and you'd cover it up. Wasn't a big space, but Danny, you'd have all of your seeds in that place. But then at a given time, you'd take it out of the plant bed, and you'd put it out in the field where it could grow fruit. When you were born again, God had you in a place where, okay, this is the place where I want you right now. But remember, I'm going to move you from that because you're on your way to glory. You're on your way to your seat. But I'm going to put you, first of all, in an area where you can bear fruit. It's called the church, called the body of Christ. Are y'all still here? And that's why you can't be a spectator. Because if you're a spectator, you're still over here in a plant bed. I'm just glad to be here in Jesus' name. You got to get out of the plant bed and you got to get into the... So God can use you to be fruitful. He wants you to be fruitful because he's going to demonstrate something in your life. So why am I together in Christ? I'm together in Christ. I'm positioned in a good place so I can bear fruit for his glory. He says it in this verse. He says, now, I want God's going to, who is rich in mercy, wherewith he loved us, has quickened us together, has made us alive in Christ, and it says, and has raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace toward us. So now, preservation. God has raised us up and put us in place in Christ Jesus. I think about Job when I read the scripture. And for those of you that have read the story of Job, you've read the book of Job, you understand that the devil at some point wanted to test him. He really wanted to kill Job. He really wanted to destroy Job. And he tried his best to destroy him. But in Job chapter 1, verse 10, the devil gives a reason as to why he couldn't do everything he wanted to Job. He said, you got a hedge around him. You've got protection around him. Now, remember, this is Old Testament. This is before Christ. This is before the Holy Spirit indwells you. And if Job was in a position where God had a hedge around him, here you are in the New Testament. You're a believer in Christ. Guess what God has around you? More importantly, guess what God's got in you? You ever heard this thing called a force field? All right, back in the day when they had Star Wars and, you know, all this other stuff, and they'd have this, put the shields up. And they put the shields up so that they would get protected from the bombardment of things outside in the world. Now, that's Hollywood. But spiritually, when you're in Christ, God has put the shield up so that the devil can only do what God allows him to do. He can't put more on you than what God put in you. He cannot destroy you because God will not allow it. You have to tell the devil, that's not allowed. That's not allowed. You can tempt me, you can test me, but you can't have me because I belong to somebody else. That's not allowed. So we're together in Christ, and we're being protected. We're being protected. However, God does allow trials to come and make us stronger. But as I said before, he will never put more on you than what he puts in you. What you got to do is pray, Lord, give me the strength so that whatever I'm facing right now, in Christ, I can endure all things. In Christ, I can triumph over all things. In Christ, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. In Christ, God, you're going to work through me to gain the victory. That's how little folks stand up in front of giants, because they know what's in them is bigger than what's against them. Amen? So we see the unification. We also see the preservation. But here comes the authority, and we've already talked about this. He seated us together in Christ Jesus. Where do you think Jesus is seated right now? He's seated on the throne. And people don't sit on thrones just for the decor. All right? Jesus prayed before he left the planet. He said, Father, I pray you'd restore me to that place where I was with you from the beginning. So what did God do when he got to glory? All the angels got up and they saluted him, and he sat down on his throne in heaven and began ruling the universe again from that position. All right, now, here we go. We got saved. We got our little self saved. We're over here in Christ, and we're saved now, and we're looking around. Man, I'm on the throne. I got some authority. Sometimes you got to be careful when you give folk authority. You give them a key to something, they're going, Man, they going everywhere. How you get in here? I had the key. Good news is the power of the Holy Spirit directs you in all that you do so you can't mess up. And when you do mess up, God gonna set you down and say, behave yourself. Pastor Isaac Monroe said, what we need to do is just learn how to behave ourselves. Amen? So when you think about this authority that God has given, it's always to bring him glory. Always to give him honor. Always to recognize him. Because you're in Christ, and it's not you that's rubbing off on Christ. It's Christ that's rubbing off on you. Remember when you used to cuss? Then you got a little more Jesus. Remember, you used to carry on like you do. I'm going to take my religion off. Then one day you tried to take it off and it didn't budge because you're in Christ. The thing about it is God wrapped you up in Jesus so that the power of Jesus Christ would change everything about you. The stuff you started with will not fit in heaven. Yeah, it'll fit in hell. It'll go, yeah. If you want to keep an attitude through life, that's good for folks on their way to hell. But somewhere between earth and glory, your attitude changes. Your mind changes. How many of y'all got a little bit older now, and you used to get in arguments about crazy stuff, and you didn't say, you know what, I'm just going to let that go. Folk cut you off in traffic. You used to say, oh, my goodness. You got a whole lot to say. Somebody happened this morning, huh? Now it doesn't bother you because you know who you are. You're in a great position. You're in a good place, and the world can't fret you. You can't get on your nerves now because you're talking to the one that's walking with you. Communication with Christ is always, always a wonderful thing. Romans 8, I believe in verse 14, it tells us that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. You've got to be led by him. That means directed by him. That means your words, your actions, and the authority that you use it in a way that honors God. And lastly, I want to close with this one, and y'all buckle up. Y'all hold on tight. Hold on tight, because this one got me. Your loving God has such a wonderful plan for you. Not only is he rich in mercy, but it talks about in the ages to come. How many of y'all have ever been told in your life you'll never be anything? Somebody lied. But you don't have to worry about pointing the finger or saying, see, I told you so. God's got some great plans for you. Amen. That in the ages to come, there's a twofold meaning to that. It means in the future, but it also means from then on. It's saying in the future, God's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. What you got to do, keep your seat in Christ. Because you now are being changed. You're being transformed. Best example that we can think of this is in the word metamorphosis, where it talks about the change of something. That's usually when this old worm, you ever seen a little worm? They crawl up in what this thing called a cocoon. And you say, yeah, I saw the worm when he crawled in. Well, guess what you and I are? We're worms. Don't look like a whole lot. But because of your position in Christ, God is now transforming you. Inside of that cocoon, inside of that thing that God is working on, you are being transformed from the children of darkness into the children of light. He's already taken you out of the world. He's already taken you out of the sin. But what he's now doing, he's changing you so that you can be fully developed. When that cocoon breaks, It's not a worm that crawls out. It's a butterfly. Can I tell you that you were made to fly? You were made for something greater, and God's going to make sure that he does that. Now, watch this. I tried to think about this. Miss Kev, I tried to think about, well, what is this? And the best I could think about, you know how you look at a show on TV, and you kind of look at a show, and it's a great show, and they'll have the star of the show. Well, the star of this show is Jesus Christ. He's the star. Now you are also with him, but that doesn't make you a superstar. It just makes you something inside of him, in Christ. Amen? Everybody say, in Christ. So he's taken you in Christ. The honoree of the show is God Almighty. Because what God did, he said, I'm going to have mercy on you as much as I want to, and I'm going to change you from the inside out so that when the world, when the angels, when the universe looks at you in the ages to come, what they will see is not the sinner that you used to be. They're going to see a child of God. You're going to be changed. I know it's hard right now. I know you're struggling right now. I know you're trying to overcome a lot of stuff right now. But one day, you will stand before God, and you're going to look for spots. You're going to look for wrinkles, but they won't be there because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you, has made you whole. That's what God's going to do. And he's going to put you up before all of the angels. See, we were made lower than angels. But on that day, he's going to exalt us above the angels. And he's going to tell the angels, look at what my grace did. Look at what my power did. Look at how I was wonderful in their life. Look at the amazing love that I showed them. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to lift our hands and we're going to thank him. We're going to thank him. We're going to thank him. We're going to adore him. We're going to love him because he loved us. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound has saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but thank God now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I see. I see it. God bless you today. God bless you today. God bless you today. Lord God, I thank you. Lord God, I thank you. You did this for us. You didn't have to do it, but your mercy moved you to do it. And I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. God, Thanksgiving not here yet, but I just want to thank you today. I'm so grateful for your amazing love. I pray you'd bless somebody. Help them to understand that they're in a great place. You're in a great position for some great things to happen. God's going to make it happen. You just hang on in there. You hold on. God's going to make it happen for his glory. And Lord, if there's someone that does not know you, that has not accepted you, that's not allowed you to move them from that old position, move on their hearts today and change them for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Next, we all stand.